To order, and we have actually just one bill we'll be hearing today. It's House Bill 2011, and we are deferring any action on 2515. All right, we have a number of folks that are signed up, and we welcome you all here to testify. Thank you for coming. We will first call up Dwayne Bales and Dan Grogan and B.G. Eilertson. Before you all settle in, I'd like to ask Representative Witt if he would like to speak. Do you need to get away?
Well, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I can follow you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Anderson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Dwayne Bales, and I am the Legislative Director for the House Majority Office. I'm appearing before you today in place of House Majority Leader Wayne Scott. Representative Scott was hoping to be able to testify in support of House Bill 2011. However, conflicts in his schedule have prevented him from doing so, and therefore he's asked me to fill in for him and make a few brief comments on his behalf. Representative Scott introduced House Bill 2011 at the request of the Northwest Sports Fishing Industry Association. Several representatives of the industry are here today, and they will be testifying before you and explaining specifically why this bill is needed. The purpose of me appearing before you is simply to express Representative Scott's support for House Bill 2011, and to let you know that he appreciates you taking the time to consider it today. House Bill 2011 is an important bill to the sports fishing industry, and he was pleased to introduce it on their behalf. With that, I'd like to conclude my remarks and just thank you for letting me testify.
Thank you very much.
Chair Anderson, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dan Grogan. I'm the president of Fisherman's Marine and Outdoor. We are an Oregon-based retailer with stores in Oregon City, Oregon, and North Portland. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you my support for House Bill 2011. I want to first acknowledge the leadership of Representative Wayne Scott. He has consistently stood up for the constituents in his district, and I want to thank him for his sponsorship of this legislation. And for the last 4 years, the sport fishing industry has been frustrated by shortened fishing seasons. When we do not fully prosecute our sport fishery, it costs our sport fishing businesses a lot of sales, it lowers the number of fishing licenses sold by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and loses the state of Oregon important tourism dollars. While the sport fishing industry has tried to improve the situation through the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission, I have constantly been told by the department the problem is Oregon's wildlife policy statute. The demand for equitable has required the commission to make decisions that are not in the best interest of Oregon. I have been told that the current process in place will stay the same until the change in the statute is made. We believe House Bill 2011 is the right change for Oregon. It improves the guidance provided to the commission by the legislature by ensuring that utilization is sustainable, not simply equitable. Every fishery has to be sustainable, or it will collapse all other fisheries around it. There should be no fishery that is unsustainable, and that should be the priority for the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission. Let it be clear, this bill does not seek an end to the use of gillnets or any other fisheries. Section 7 of the wildlife policy requires that the commission consider all user groups and their associated benefits. This is as it should be. Each fishery considered for its individual merits. All we ask is that the fishery be sustainable. We are proud of the efforts we have made to build healthy, sustainable fisheries around the state. Thank you for your consideration, and I urge passage of House Bill 2011.
All right. Are there any questions from the panel? Tell me, would you describe a little bit the gill netting segment of the population out there that's fishing?
Well, there's other people that will be more rounded than that. The gillnet, the non-tribal gillnet, on the main stem of the Columbia River, they fish select area fisheries which are off the main stem. And there's about 200, I don't know how many exactly active, really, you know, out there, say, season by season. But there's about 200 on the main stem of the Columbia River.
Okay. I mean, is that predominantly tribal, or that's other than
tribal? No, that's other than tribal.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair Anderson and members of the House Committee on Environment. My name is B.G. Eilertson. I'm the merchandise manager for G.I. Joe's. G.I. Joe's currently employs about 1,400 people in Oregon and Washington, with 23 locations and a corporate office just down the road in Wilsonville, Oregon. The families that we employ are highly dependent upon resource management. Many of our activities and our categories we sell are all resource categories. Probably none that are as important as fishing and hunting with our particular organization. Our stores in Oregon sold over 103,000 hunting and fishing licenses and an equal number of tags in the pursuit of fish and game. Those dollars that we collect are for the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and they provide the financial pillar for funding fish and wildlife conservation. Because our resource management by the Commission is so integral to the success of our bottom line, I and many others at G.I. Joe's have spent a lot of time constructively engaged in the processes to secure stable angling seasons for citizens and tourists in this great part of the world. While working within these processes, seeking stability for our industry, we were frequently told by department staff and the Commission that their enabling statutes did not allow for providing the sustainability our industry were seeking. While it is entirely the Commission's purview to allocate fish and wildlife resources, sustainability needs to be their guiding principle. I also am in charge of purchasing all categories for the hunting lines at G.I. Joe's at this time, and here again I recognize the important role the Commission plays for wildlife issues, just as it is in fisheries. I know the importance of having sustainable utilization of the resource will give Oregon hunters and our hunting industry a sustainable future as well. As a businessman, I know that if you're not a part of the solution, you're a part of the problem. That's a cliche, of course. I am pleased to support the efforts of leaders such as you to move towards adopting sustainability as an explicit guiding principle for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And thanks for giving me an opportunity to speak today.
Thank you. It's an impressive number of licenses that you have.
It really is, isn't it?
Here.
Yeah.
And you're just one of the many merchants out there that are...
Yeah, he sells a few in our parking lot, too.
No comment. Any questions from the Representative Greg?
I'm wondering if a member of the panel could give me a definition of the difference between sustainable and equitable.
Well, I'll give it a shot. The spear fishing industry has led the way in fin clipping fish, which means they take the adipose fin off of fish. We've started with steelhead. And without that, some of our fisheries would have collapsed. So we selectively fish. So our impact to ESA listed fish is very little. You have to have fisheries like that that can let the unfin clipped fish go to be sustainable. Otherwise, you'll crash down on the ESA and we won't fish at all. Equitable is the problem with equitable with the department is that they've pretty much said that that's 50-50. And if you look at average commercial catch over the last 24 years, there's 727,000 on the average fish caught commercially, and there's 345,000 sport fish caught. It's a difference of 381,000 fish. What they've done is they've taken the non-tribal gillnet fishery on the main stem of the Columbia River to Bonneville Dam, and they've pitted the sport fishery against that fishery and said that it should be 50-50. You also have the trophy fleet that's catching commercial fish. You also have the tribal fleet that's catching commercial fish, and that's how your imbalance starts to get way out of whack. So those fisheries are sandwiched between one commercial fishery. The tribes now sell their fish to the public, and then you got this fish in the fishery in the middle, which really relegates us at this point down to one fish limits, and shortened seasons. And if you imagine if you're a guide and you're trying to book a trip for somebody, you get shut down all the time. And we're a one fish with good returns, you know, we can't go any farther backwards. We're really getting messed up by, I mean, your economic value of spring Chinook fishing in that area last year for sport to the state was $20.6 million and commercial was $1.6 million. But yeah, we're going to split it 50-50. We have 200 gill netters out there. We have several hundred thousand anglers out there. So equity is all messed up. You got to get rid of the word because it's not equitable. I mean, I don't know how we'll ever, or how it could ever be proved that the decisions being made are equitable.
Hello, Mr. Chair.
Hello.
Would this bill endanger our hatcheries in any way in the future?
I'm sorry. What was the question?
Would this bill endanger the future of fish hatcheries in Oregon?
It certainly wasn't the intent. Actually, I think. What we're looking at is sustainable as future. Okay, I think that the commission itself adopted the word sustainable in 2001 in the legislature to provide more protection for their wildlife policy. So that's what we're looking for, just more protection for these fish. And it is, you know, I don't know that the hatchery issue is an entirely separate issue.
Thank you.
I've worked with Senator Gordon Smith a lot on hatcheries on the Willamette, and we would continue to do that so that we still have the fin clip resources to fish for.
Would you, are you implying that if this is changed to sustainable, that the number of licenses would increase or decrease, or what's your estimate?
Well, under the assumption that you could have full fishery seasons, sport seasons, which you could. Your seasons would be longer. They would be uninterrupted. And not only would it increase fishing license sales, you know, every time we've had good seasons, you get more fishing licenses sold. It also increases, we have several boat manufacturers in the state, that it increases their boat sales dramatically.
And tourism as well.
Good. Right. Yes, Senator Glenn.
Thank you very much. I was a little bit late because I had to testify on a committee, and I don't know whether you might be able to answer these questions, but what has been the salmon run in the past maybe 3-4 years? Has been increasing or decreasing, or just the current level? If you know that information.
In the last 3 years, there's other people that would know this better. 2 years ago, I think, was the peak. And you have fall and you have spring, so you have two different runs. And you have coho and you have chinook. So you've got, you actually also have steelhead in there. Anyway, this year is off from the prior 2 years. Last year was off, I think, a little bit from the prior year before that. But in a 10-year average, they've been equal to the 10-year average or above.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next panel, could I have Trey Karskadon, and Liz Hamilton. And also Jim Stevenson, if you'd like to come forward.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to mention that during the last session, Mr. Karskadon took another representative, myself, on the river fishing, and we never even got a bite. So his credibility with me is not real good. Thank you very much.
Would you like to state whether that might influence your vote?
I'd never try to do that.
Thank you. All right. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Trey. For the record, my name is Trey Karskadon. I'm a resident of Tualatin, and probably say I'm a fifth-generation Oregonian. Chair Anderson, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify on behalf of House Bill 2011. My marketing firm represents Lumwell Boats Incorporated of Eagle Point in White City, River Marine of White City, Smoker Craft Boats of Staten, Stevens Marine of Tigard in Milwaukee, the Portland Marine Dealers Association, and Outdoor Multimedia Group of Lake Oswego. I'm also the president of the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association. I provide you with detailed testimony. I'm going to be brief on why your support of House Bill 2011 is so essential to the Oregon industries I represent, specifically the sport fishing and boating industries. The single most important point I want to make to you, though, is just how important this legislation is to Oregon's rural and to their coastal communities. Oregon's migratory fish runs are creating new and meaningful opportunities to dozens of Oregon communities. From Brookings to Astoria, Astoria to Hermiston, we're seeing the benefit of these fish runs. The state of Idaho documented net benefit to the state on just the 2001 spring Chinook run of $90 million. This is about a five-week season that now accounts for 20% of Oregon, Idaho's entire economic base. The state of Oregon values the exact same run some 400 miles to the west at about $20 million. How can that be? We've undervalued these runs. We don't fully understand the benefits that they bring to our state and to our businesses, and that's what we're here today is to elucidate that. It's evident to us and to our businesses that we should have in place some kind of a policy that seeks to sustain these runs. We've had a bite of the fruit, and we like the taste of it. We'd like to continue this very much. Businesses like Lumwell Boats in White City, one of the oldest and best-known boat builders in the region, just doubled its facility size from 70,000 square feet to 150,000 square feet because demands for boats across the region and into Alaska gave them the confidence to expand their 34-year-old operation. Lumwell, like many other builders around the state, were unable to keep up with demand. The current process that guides the Department of Fish and Wildlife and how fish runs are allocated has resulted in enormous potential losses to our industry and to the state. The success we've enjoyed has been hard-fought and not fully realized. The numbers we're capable of generating would be much greater if we had the chance to fully prosecute these fisheries. The standard of equitable utilization has not been fair to us, and we believe sustainable utilization more properly defines the guidelines necessary to assure the success and the future of these fish and the economics that go with them. The reason we're here today is that the ODFW told us that if we didn't like the process, we needed to change it. We've worked closely with them for a decade to overcome these inequities of the current policy. We've made little headway, suffered innumerable setbacks, and now we're here to change a policy that continues to constrain our industry at a cost of tens of millions of dollars annually to this state. We pray for your support of House Bill 2011, and again, we thank you for your consideration of our position. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Any questions?
Honorable Chairman Anderson and members of the House Committee, it's wonderful to have you all here today. I've had the good fortune of serving as the Executive Director for the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association since its inception back in the 90s. Currently, we have over 300 businesses that we serve, located primarily in Oregon and Washington. And we're dependent on healthy, sustainable fish populations. We provide over 36,500 family-wage, year-round jobs in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho, giving back over $3.5 billion in economic benefits. A little about NSIA, we were founded back in the early 90s, motivated by the fact that our industry was reeling from the loss of 10,000 jobs due to salmon declines. We needed to get involved or we were going to continue to lose jobs. And I'm proud to work for this industry because they've always put the fish first, thinking that the healthy businesses would follow. But to stay in business, we had to work to ensure that Hatchery and Harvest were better partners in recovery and to become a part of the solution, as BG said. The industry chose mass marking, hatchery, and harvest reform, and we felt those were the things that we could contribute from our side of the equation to sustain. We knew that sport fishing had to be first in line, and many of the department told us that mass marking was not necessary or that it would not work, but we persisted, and today, all across the state of Oregon, we have open fisheries based on selective fisheries. Sustainable utilization to us means that I'll go back to when the management statutes were written. There was no ESA and very little weak stock management. we were dealing with warring harvesters and abundant fish populations. Today, across many industries in Oregon, we are seeking ways to maintain healthy business climate and preserve the natural resources that Oregon jobs depend on and that Oregonians consider their heritage and second paycheck. Substituting sustainable utilization for equitable utilization is articulating for fish and wildlife management the very same values articulated in forestry, agriculture, and in other important Oregon natural resources. Sustainable refers to fisheries that can every year be managed in a manner that will deliver the bang for the buck. Jobs and communities spread throughout Oregon. What is valuable about the sport fishing industry is that we provide year-round as opposed to seasonal family wage jobs with benefits. As sport fishers, we are a very soft touch on the resource. Because we are so easy to manage, it is frequently our high-value fisheries that are shut down due to over-harvest and other fisheries. You heard a little bit about that earlier. This is ironic when we know that if we stay the course, we can sustain these jobs and grow them in more rural and urban communities. The other reason we like this is sustaining sport fisheries sustains ODF&W's budget. It is the license buying public that foots the bill for much of ODF&W's conservation work, and our community has always led the charge for when it's time for fee increases to maintain important funding for enforcement, hatcheries, and other important functions at ODF&W. Finally, we'll look at sustainability as it's defined in the 2001 Oregon Sustainability Act, and I quote, using, developing, and protecting resources in a manner that enables people to meet current needs and provides that future generations can also meet future needs from the joint perspectives of the environment, economic, and community objectives. If you merely add the words fish and wildlife in front of the word resources, it's clear that this truly is the right word for today's views and values to manage wildlife resources. Inserting sustainable utilization into ODF&W's legislative management guidelines does several things for the state of Oregon. It demonstrates that ODF&W resource management goals are consistent with all the partners in Oregon's plan for salmon and watersheds. It allows the commission to make management decisions that reflect values from the environment, economic, and community objectives in a way that the word equitable never has. And it helps ensure that state, federal, and private investments made in healthy salmon watersheds will receive the best biological and economic return on those investments. What it does not do, it does not dictate allocation of fish and wildlife to the commission. This will remain there, and that's as it should be. That's why they serve. It does not take fish away from the public. You're going to hear this. You're going to hear it quoted, that this would take fish away from the public. And we'd go into this in more detail if you need information later with the numbers Dan provided. We have an ocean troll fleet that delivers to Oregon. We have a terminal gillnet fleet. We have a mainstem gillnet fleet. And we have a treaty gillnet fleet. So Oregon will still have that Oregon-caught wild fish that we're all so famous for. And it does not change the current inequity in management. It merely frees the commission to make management decisions that are in line with current realities. That's our hope. I will admit, though, that moving forward and making change is frequently difficult. I'm not suggesting it's going to be easy. We are thankful for leaders such as Representative Scott and others who acknowledge that all that Oregon resources have to offer for the mutual benefit of sport and commercial fishers. It's not a threat to anyone who fishes or hunts in Oregon to redefine the importance of these populations to Oregon and make certain that we get the greatest economic benefit to the state of Oregon. We trust you share this vision, and I appreciate your time. And I'm here for questions if you need them or in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz.
I can wait.
No, let's go ahead and take questions, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Hamilton, I'm curious how you're defining family wage in your estimate. What does someone who's working in this industry earn, and what kind of benefits do they enjoy?
The two gentlemen who are here before me are some of the larger employers, and it'd be better to ask them. I could get you maybe information from Laura Jensen, which is the largest employer in Hood River behind the county hospital, G.I. Joe's, Fisherman's. I know that it's important to them to provide jobs that are not seasonal, that are full-time, and that provide vacation and health care with them. But I would speak to them. I could tell you what I make, but...
If I might follow up, Mr. Chair, I'm just as I'm reading your testimony, I'm trying to figure out what 3,600 jobs with a $3.5 billion impact.
That
calculation tells me that that's under $10,000 per job, so I'm trying to square that against a family wage.
Did I write million or billion?
Billion.
I had that information. Yes,
right, 36,000 jobs.
That information comes from a federal survey that's done state by state every 5 years, funded through U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and I'd be happy to get you a copy of that.
If there's more information that you could get to back that up, that would be helpful.
I could.
And I have one more.
That's cool.
Follow-up.
One of the sources of preference that we have with these fisheries is that if you look at the economic studies that have been done, it's clear as to the number of value. I know boating in the state of Oregon, for instance, is $1 billion a year industry. Then that's from 1996 Operation Sea Grant that was conducted where they're trying to update that information right now. 70% of the boats sold across the state are used primarily for fishing. We're not sure if those numbers are entered into that calculation or not. And it really begs looking at this. Because when you look at what's going on in some of the personal things and pet
documents,
it's far and away. The totals are just enormous. And we're sure of the fact that the sports fishing community is generating dollars well in excess of what's being documented.
Any information you have that would back that up would be really helpful for me. And one more. While you're doing research, your testimony says that 36,000 jobs are in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
If you could get information about how many of those jobs are actually Oregonians as opposed to the three states, that would be helpful.
Okay. That makes it easier, actually. Thank you.
I have one question. And thank you very much. And could you define me in plain terms what's the differences of equitable and sustainable? Who can explain to me that?
I think this, if this doesn't come across simple, this is the best I could boil it down for me, is that equitable is more in reference to looking backwards and looking at a historical allocation of abundance. Sustainable is more reflective of society's look at fish right now. We're working to protect and restore fish populations. All of our fishery management at Pacific Fishery Management Council, U.S. Canada Treaty, the Magnuson Act, it's all based on weak stock management. So the equitable is a look in the looking backwards at what we had and where we've been, and sustainability is looking where we are today and where we need to go with the resource. And that's where I would split the difference. It's taking Oregon statutes for fishery management and bringing them more in line with other things that we're doing in the state as far as resource management.
Thank you. I hope your interpretation is correct one, but I'm not sure yet. Thank you anyway.
All right.
Thank you. Honorable Chair Anderson, members of the committee, I'm Jim Stevenson, a board of director for Northwest Guides and Anglers Association, located here in Oregon. I'm a lifetime resident of Oregon, a lifelong angler, and currently a sport fishing guide in Oregon and Alaska. Northwest Guides and Anglers Association supports House Bill 2011. We feel the language of sustainable utilization of wildlife inclusive of food fish better describes the management of resources in today's socio-political landscape versus the word equitable, which speaks more towards allocation. We encourage the passage of House Bill 2011. We feel it is beneficial and necessary in order to sustain our resources, and I want to thank you very much for allowing me to testify, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Great. How many guides and anglers do you represent?
Currently, this is a new organization. We just started up at the first of the year, and our membership is currently 20, but it's going to grow. It's kind of an offshoot from another association that is in existence who also supports this, which is Tillamook Guides Association, and they support this legislation also.
Thank you, and I see your representative, Debbie Moore, back there. Would you like to add anything? Okay. Thank you. All right, any questions of the panel? Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
All right, we have Sharon Schaub, Tom Wolf, and Barney Kurgan, I believe, are next up. Sharon, you want to lead out?
Thank you, Chair, Mr. Anderson, and panel. My name is Sharon Shaw, and I'm the business manager for the Northwest Steelheaders. And the Northwest Steelheaders have been in Oregon for 40-plus years. We have 15 chapters throughout Oregon and one honorary in Alaska. We have approximately 1,400 members, and we support House Bill number 2011. The Northwest Steelheaders are dedicated to restoring and enhancing salmon, trout, and steelhead populations and their habitats, so future generations will have the ability to benefit from the outdoor recreational opportunities that we enjoy today. We support this legislation because House Bill 2011 would accomplish the following benefits to Oregonians, or for Oregonians. Mandate that wildlife harvest practices address the goal of effectively sustaining the resource. Manage our resources to the highest possible resource benefits and returns, and accurately reflect the needs of the resource. We would appreciate your support on this legislation, and thank you for the opportunity of being able to speak.
All right, thank you for coming. Do you have any questions? All right.
Honorable Chairman Anderson, members of the House Committee on the Environment. My name is Barney Kurgan, and I'm here to represent the 8,000 members of iFish.net. a fishing website which is owned and operated by Jenny Logson Martin of Tillamook, Oregon. iFish.net received over 1,450,000 visits last year. That's a lot of fishing passion. The members of the site are from diverse political and socioeconomic backgrounds, a true cross-section of our population here in Oregon. Salmon are well represented by this website, and our members are well informed about fish issues because of it. Endless discussions about how to save salmon are the norm. Our members buy Oregon-built boats for $40,000 on a regular basis. They also buy trucks to tow these boats with. They buy fuel, tackle, bait, lodging, and meals. The list is endless. In fact, many small towns across our state derive income from our members when there are fishing opportunities. Sport fishing and tourism that goes with it is one of Oregon's greatest transfers of wealth. It makes economic sense for the state of Oregon to manage its fisheries in a sustainable manner. Sport fishers have sacrificed whole fishing seasons, abbreviated limits, rising fees, complicated regulations, all in the name of aiding fish runs. We want to see the state manage our fisheries in a sustainable manner to ensure this economically valuable resource endures long into the future. That's why we endorse House Bill 2011. In this era of compromised resource, complicated catch rules, a less than perfect environment, and ESA listings, we feel it's time to restate the values with which we manage our resource. I hope that our children's children's children will be able to fish for cutthroat trout just like I did when I was growing up at the coast. As a third-generation Oregonian, this issue is particularly important to me personally. And thank you very much for letting me testify.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Representative Nolan.
Mr. Chair, I don't have a question, but Mr. Kurgan, because you brought up financial information, you give me an opportunity to confess the error of my arithmetic earlier and apologize to Ms. Hamilton for underestimating the financial impact. I was off by a digit, it appears, Ms. Hamilton. Mm-hmm. It's closer to $100,000, and I would still like the information, but my arithmetic needs a little work. Thank you.
Questions? All right. Thank you. If you'll present.
Chair Anderson, committee members, my name is Tom Wolf. I live in Hillsboro, Oregon. I'm the chair of the Oregon Council of Trout Unlimited. Trout Unlimited is the largest cold water fishery conservation group in the United States. We have approximately 140,000 members nationwide and 3,200 here in Oregon. And our members are almost 100% sports fishermen. And so I would just like to take a moment to support all the previous testimony from Liz and various members of the groups talking about the need for sustainability to be included in here in exchange for equitable for the needs of the sports fishers to for the industry and the sports fishing community as a whole. But I would just like to testify on the word sustainability from a personal level. I'm a sixth generation Oregonian. My family came out here in 1844. We eventually settled up in a little community of Mountaindale in Washington County, and now there are tons of my family spread all through western Washington County. When my family first moved to our diaries of my great-great-grandfather, and were replete with references to abundant fish and wildlife, deer, steelhead, cutthroat trout all over, and obviously that has changed in 160 years, and we no longer have that abundance. So I think it is required of us to rethink the language that we have in this bill. So Trout Unlimited does support HB 2011 because I think sustainability means that we look into the future and we protect fish and wildlife for the future, our future generations, so that the children and grandchildren that will be following us will always have fish to catch and never have to face a future when everything's gone. So just thank you for this chance to testify.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your coming long distances to present. Are there questions? All right. Thank you very much. We have Representative Witt coming down, and I'm going to just go to recess for just a minute or two as he arrives. Debbie Moore. Did I say Debbie Moore? Debbie Boone.
I missed it.
Hello.
And I promised not to sing.
That smile, how could I forget?
Thank you, Chair Anderson, committee members. For the record, my name is Deborah Boone. I represent House District 32, which encompasses the upper left coast. I have in my district commercial fishermen and sport fishermen and women. I am a commercial and sport fisherwoman. Commercial in that I hang out with some of those guys sometimes. And I support them all. And I love fishing. I want to say one thing about the, I don't have the section of the district which has the bulk of the commercial, the gill netting fleet that Representative Witt has, and he'll speak to that. But I do buy fish from them, and the spring chinook is my favorite fish. So I don't want to see them hurt by anything like this at all. Astoria, and Representative Witt will probably speak to this, Astoria has a history of gill netting on the river, and if you've ever looked at some of the historical photos of that area, you see the big gull wing or whatever they call them, fishing boats with the sails on them. It's part of the history. I just want to implore you to consider all of it. All fishing brings money to fisher people, and it's a very vital piece of our industry in our district and in our state. Oregon is known for its great seafood and river fish. They go out to the ocean too. And I really support everyone. I like to think everyone in this room is my friend, and support them completely, and just, I meant it when I said it, just whatever we can do to bring in more fish. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bloom. I think it's pretty obvious that the whole panel is very much in that vein, that we're excited about seeing the return of not only the native fish, but also a number of the hatchery fish and the great, great numbers that the hatcheries have brought to us. And it's really a compliment to the work of a lot of people in the past, both in encouraging the hatcheries and in working with the wild fish, that we are seeing a great return of fish. In Southern Oregon, we're blessed on the road with huge numbers of fish that we weren't seeing 10 years ago. And whether that's ocean conditions or river conditions, I don't think any of us could finally say, but it certainly is a combination of both, and to human ingenuity, I think, that has essentially helped us to help the fish themselves. So with that, I think I will
I think we'll just call a recess for just a moment or two.
Terry Thompson, and I believe Bruce Buckmaster, familiar face, and also Jim Marquis, if you would all come forward.
Scary.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Terry Thompson, former legislator, and we served together. I was in the Senate, and he was in the House.
Excellent.
I think I served with most everybody up there, except for the chair.
And you've moved forward and upward, right? Good question.
I'll give a shot at starting this, and I'll tell you why I'm here. Normally, I wouldn't be involved in an issue like this, but my name is Terry Thompson. I am an ex-legislator and county commissioner. And as a county commissioner, I'm involved a lot with economic development along the coast. And if you haven't realized, we really struggle over there. I mean, it's a difficult situation. Tourism's important to us. Sport fishing's important to us. And commercial fishing is very important to us in the city of Newport and Astoria and some of the communities up and down along the coast. So my situation is, of course, in the timber industry. Those three make up the base of our economy in our area. So it's a little bit difficult when you're an avid sports fisherman and part of your economy is there. But this bill isn't a good bill. It sits there and it kind of flies in the face of what has been developed over years in using the word equitable so that commercial fishery and sport fishery can live together in somewhat of a harmonious situation. What's happened is they want to change it to sustainable. The reality is equitable, taking that out of the language, is the real part that gives me heartburn. I represent, or in our port, we have as much as, this year, $25 million of the crabs up and down the west coast of the United States. This bill does more than just work against gillners. It works against those crabbers, too. It works against anybody that's in commercial fisheries, which is in excess of $100 million a year to coastal economies. We turn around and change this, and it basically gives the sports fishery the priority over commercial fishery. I believe that people in the state of Oregon have the right to buy fish and eat fish. Commercial fishermen supply that entity. A lot of the numbers you're seeing there bother me that you're being given by the sports industry. When you see numbers from the commercial fishery, only one thing is calculated. That's the landings that we had in actual dollars. We don't add in the cars we use, the boats we use, the fuel we burn. I mean, our numbers would be pretty astronomical. They're astronomical it is the last couple of years down there. So you've got a problem here in that if you make this change, you're going to tip the balance based on some economic numbers that I don't think are accurate. I think you need to hear both sides of the story. We just found out about this bill Friday, and I couldn't get a lot of fishermen over here, but I think you need to take a lot of time and give a lot of consideration to both sides before you let this bill go forward.
I think that brings up a good point that we welcome input, and if either of the sides want to send us information, email, letter, phone call, I think we are certainly open to that. Mr. Marquis, do you want to follow?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jim Marquis. I'm here today representing Salmon for All. Salmon for All is an organization comprised of lower Columbia River commercial fishermen, seafood processors, commercial salmon buyers and sellers, other people involved in the marine trades, including folks who sell commercial gear both at the wholesale and retail levels. And I have with me one of our board members, Bruce Buckmaster, who's very actively involved in our fishery, but actually owns a company called Bio Oregon, and which is involved in recycling and the like. This is an interesting bill. Certainly, one wouldn't want to be against sustainability. And one, on the other hand, wouldn't want to be against equitable. And it's interesting, we're exchanging one word for another. The word equitable has been in this statute since the mid-70s, and you're going to hear probably some history on that from the department when they come. But I want to point out to you that whether or not you pass this bill, there is direction to the department in the current statutes that aren't affected by this bill that relate to sustainability. And I would read you the subsection or two before this change occurs in the statute, which talks about the policy of the state of Oregon that food fish should be managed to provide the optimum economic, commercial, recreational, aesthetic benefits for present and future generations of the citizens of this state. And further, they are to maintain all species of food fish at optimum levels in all suitable waters of the state to prevent the extinction of any indigenous species. So, and you'll see similar language in the wildlife statute preceding that. So I believe there's adequate direction to the department regarding sustainability. And if anyone questions whether the department is committed or the governor's office is committed or this state is committed to sustainability, ask the power companies who don't want to spill water. Ask the upriver farmers who scream and holler because we do too much to sustain these runs. So this is not a question of sustainability. This is a question of the word equitable and how it is used by the department, because the department considers all user groups. And so we did a handout for you, and I'm not going to read the handout, but I want you to pay particular attention, because we actually went and we did some research, and when I say we, I mean Bruce. We did a look-see at the take of spring Chinook over the last 4 years. And of course, the spring Chinook in the Columbia River system are the premier fish. They're the fish these folks want. And they're the fish that everybody wants. And if you don't fish, it's nice to buy one and have it for dinner. So I would turn your attention to the second graph, this graph here. And you all look, and a couple of numbers will pop into your head. 80-20. The sport fishing community harvests 80% of all of the spring Chinook caught by non-tribal folks in this system. The lower Columbia commercial fishermen harvest 20%. That's a four-year average. Those are figures from the Oregon and Washington Departments of Fish and Wildlife. They're not our figures. And after we put them together, we vetted them with both departments, and both departments have said, yes, those are accurate figures. Those are the best figures available. So it's 80-20. Now, if you look at the next graph, you will see how many listed wild steelhead are killed by the two user groups. And we all kill wild steelhead inadvertently, sports people and commercial people. Now, 2002 was the first year we kept track of that. And 2002 was an anomaly for a lot of reasons that you can ask us about and we'll tell you. But for the last 2 years, and particularly this year, the lower Columbia commercial fishermen have taken great measures to stop their kill of wild steelhead. 2003, 820 steelhead killed by sports fishermen in that system, in the Columbia River system. 209 by commercial. 2004, 1,043 versus 232. Again, 80-20. So they're killing about 80% of the wild steelhead as well. Now this year, through some innovative techniques by the commercial fishermen, we've managed to keep, we're in the middle of the commercial season on the Lower Columbia, 24 wild steelhead killed in total by that fishery. So when you look at these numbers, you begin to realize why someone might be interested in getting rid of the term equitable. I mean, if I were getting 80% of the fishery, and I wanted more, a higher percentage, I might be interested in getting rid of the word equitable from the statute. So, with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I think my friend Bruce Buckmaster has a few things that he'd like to say.
I might take a question or two in just a moment or two. Commissioner, could I ask you to step back and bring Representative Witt up? So he's under a little pressure time-wise. Stick with us, Bruce, and we'll answer questions in just a minute. Thank you for coming down.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I'm Brad Witt, representative from House District 31. I am also an avid sport fisher and hunter. And I'm appearing before you today in opposition to House Bill 2011. This bill fundamentally changes the manner in which ODF&W would manage our state's food, fish, and wildlife. These species are our state's resources, and as such, current statutes require that they be managed for the equitable utilization of all Oregonians. By eliminating the word equitable from this management prescription, we risk pitting different user groups against one another. For instance, sports fishers against commercial fishers, and perhaps bow hunters against gun hunters in the allocation of our state's natural resources. Our resources in our sports, namely fishing and hunting, are far better served by all of us working in coalition for the betterment of our fish and wildlife, rather than our turning against each other over the allocation of these resources. Our interests in our sport, as well as the interests of our quarries, are strengthened when we work together to enhance the whole species, rather than in our narrow interests, our interests in taking the take of these species. For these reasons, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would urge your opposition to House Bill 2011. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Witt. Any questions from the committee? Thank you very
Thank
much.
You very much.
Appreciate you coming down. Mr. Buckmaster and Mr. Marquis and Commissioner, if you'd like to. Thank you very much.
First. Thank you, Chairman Anderson, members. I appreciate being here. My name is Bruce Buckmaster of Astoria, Oregon. We already had the commercial for my company. I'm an avid fly fisherman, member of the Oregon Fly Fishing Club, Greenland Flycasters, and a board member of Salmon for All. On a bill like this, we would normally expect to see a number of commercial fishermen from the lower river packing this room, but we're in the middle of our season. There are test fishing today, and as the lowest ranking boat puller in the fleet and the only one with a tie, I was elected to come here. So I was struck when I walked into this magnificent building that somebody has carved some words onto the stone. And on the left side of the front door, there was the last three lines said, "And the sharing of benefit justly apportioned." I like that. I really like that. And that's all that equitable means. When we hear arguments that, and we've heard some questions from the from you all about what's the difference between sustainable and equitable, and what I heard was that, well, equitable's not really equitable. Sustainable is more equitable. So I was confused. This has been bothering me ever since I heard this bill had been introduced. I had a long drive back to Astoria from Coquille last week, was thinking about it, and allow me to make an argument in defense of equitable. Equitable is a word that holds a power that is wonderfully Oregonian. Roger Cesar cites two synonyms for equitable. They are just and honorable. Yet the proponents of this bill say that equitable is outdated and should be replaced by sustainable. Now, sustainable is a perfectly fine adjective. Combined with a noun that is just, honorable, or equitable, we should agree to defend the concept. But we all know examples of unjust, dishonorable, and inequitable situations that do not deserve to be sustained. Instead, they must be put right before sustainability is sought. As Oregon legislators, you frequently find yourselves in the position where you must argue for the principle of equitability. The moral underpinning for fair distribution of benefit cannot exist without the litmus test of equitable treatment. Now, the only downside to equitable is that it may prevent us from getting all that we want. Fortunately, equitable may never be used as an argument to prevent us from getting all that is fair. You know, there's something vaguely sinister about any call to remove equitable from our legal code. What motive lurks behind that proposal? Does someone wish to place our natural resources on the auction block? Can just or honorable stand in the way of some long-term desired outcome? I don't presume to know the motive for this bill, but I do know that equitable is not outdated. It is a principle that has supported a uniquely Oregon way of life. In recoiling from the idea to codify equitable, I've stumbled across the concept, let us sustain the valued principle of equitability by committing to add the word in every possible bill that is presented before this just and honorable body. Thank you.
Thank you. Nothing?
Well, I was just thinking, Mr. Chair, that I understand now why he owns the tie. Thank you. You're a very good speaker.
It has to be back at 5.
Oh, great. Keep us light. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate all of you.
Thank
there
you.
Are no questions from the committee. I, Commissioner, appreciate your coming. Bruce, Mr. Marquis. All right, we have several others. I want to say Carl Finley, is that correct? Good. And Rod Harder. And Lindsey Ball. Carl, would you like to lead out?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. My name is Carl Finley. I'm a commercial salmon troller from the coast.
I only was asked to come here last night, and I didn't really know what to expect. But after listening to the first few rounds of testimony, I realized that there's been a mistake made. Perhaps, you know, the word sustainability shouldn't be used. It should just be inequitable. But at any rate, I think there's very little. Obviously, sustainability is today's apple pie and is very important. However, when you seek sustainability, you need it to be equitable in who bears the sustainability, which makes, I think, equitable should be left in there. Perhaps it should be orderly, equitable, and sustainable would be a good compromise on this issue. That's about all I have to say. I would like to point out, one of the earlier speakers defined equity at the department somehow meant 50-50, but it doesn't. It's typically more historical, or as the one gentleman said, it's 20-80. It's not 50-50. This 50-50 is potentially just smoke. And also, there is an implication that the coast is doing quite well in salmon, and it's not this year. Things have changed, and both for sport fishing and the commercial trolling. The commercial trolling is very much lives off California origin fish, and the Klamath River is wiping us out, and the coho survivability for the sports fishermen has not, the coho are down, and they will have less this year than last. So the great cornucopia is coming to end. Thank you.
Okay. Rod, why don't you follow up? And we'll...
Mr. Chair, I'm members of the committee. For the record, I'm Rod Harder. I'm wearing a different hat today. I'm testifying for the Oregon Trappers Association. as many of you know, some years ago, I represented a group called the Oregon Sportsman's Defense Fund, and that was made up of groups of a variety from across Oregon, hunters, trappers, no fishers. I don't do fish, and I'm not here today to do fish. I'm here today to do wildlife. The reason I bring up the defense fund was that at one point in time we had 30 groups in there, and equitable was a very important word for those 30 groups. We had houndsmen and trappers after the same species. We had bow hunters and rifle hunters and muzzle loaders after the same species. And my job was as much a referee as it was a consultant between the various groups. So equitable played a very large part and would continue to play a very large part. For me to say I don't give a rip about fishing, that would not be entirely true. My grandkids love to fish. I love to fish. I love to eat them, but I don't do fish. The wildlife portion is in there. Line 13 specifically addresses wildlife. It includes wildlife in this bill which relating clause is fish. But it adds wildlife in that line. Were wildlife to go out of this bill, then I'd have a far less problem with it. But the sustainability, I, like Representative Lim, I'm really not sure what that means. Does it mean we are going to sustain the wolf population once they get here? The cougar population, are we going to have more bears? What's sustainability mean as far as litigation goes? Would it be someone who wants an expanded population saying going to court, going to some kind of litigation using sustainability as a vehicle? I don't know, but the possibility to me is very real. I don't think that this is a great bill. Even with, if I did do fish, I think that we would be opposed to the bill, but I would be happy to answer any questions that panel might have.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Director.
Chair Anderson, members of the committee, my name is Lindsey Ball. I'm the director of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife,
And I've come before you today to provide information on House Bill 2011. There are several proposed word changes of current statute in the wildlife policy, ORS 496.012, and the food fish policy, ORS 506.109, in House Bill 2011. There are two specific word changes that cause me sufficient concern that I wish to bring both word changes to your attention. The first is found in our wildlife policy, ORS 496.012, subsection 3. Current language is to promote, to permit an orderly and equitable utilization of available wildlife. Is amended by 2011 to read, permitting an orderly and sustainable utilization of available wildlife. The second is found in our food fish policy, RS 506.109, subsection 3. Current language reads, to permit an optimum and equitable utilization of available food fish, is amended in House Bill 2011 to read, permitting an optimum and sustainable utilization of available food fish. In both statutes, the word equitable is deleted and is replaced by the word sustainable. The policy direction from previous legislative assemblies has maintained the word equitable since the two statutes were passed in 1975, when the Game Commission and Fish Commission were combined into one commission, and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife was subsequently created. That's a 30-year span that those terms have been used consistently throughout since 1975. Oregon's Fish and Wildlife belongs to the people of the state. You and I own each fish and wildlife species out there just as much as the next person does. By legislative action, Oregon's Fish and Wildlife Commission has been given the authority and responsibility under statute to assign equitable utilization of fish and wildlife in the state under current language of the wildlife and food fish policies. The rationalization in 1975 that utilization of wildlife should be equitable is commensurate with equitable ownership. And I had the opportunity to reflect back on the testimony and the archives that surrounded those two statutes, and it was very clear that through the deliberations and the testimony that the legislators and members of staff of both the Department of Fish and Wildlife, or excuse me, the Game Commission and the Fish Commission, looked upon ownership and equitable utilization for everyone. Replacing equitable utilization with sustainable utilization will create more ambiguity than clarity, in my estimation. The 2001 Sustainability Act defines sustainability as using, developing, and protecting resources in a manner that enables people to meet current needs and provides that future generations can also meet future needs from the joint perspective of environmental, economic, and community objectives. Now, I'd like to remind the committee that they have heard some testimony today about sustainable management of our resources. And reflecting back on where we were a few years ago with our salmon populations and comparing that to where we are today, I think that the Department of Fish and Wildlife, along with the help of a lot of Oregon citizens, have brought back our fishery resources in a sustainable manner under current wording of the wildlife and food fish policies that we have been provided by the legislature, giving us direction in how we manage our resources. By looking at the definition of sustainability, one may interpret it to mean fish and wildlife conservation or maintenance of a fishery or a hunting season, needs of a community or communities, or place of value on utilization based on a local or regional economy. Equitable utilization under current language gives the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission and the department direction with a direct and simple instruction that there be some level of equality as our fish and wildlife resources are being utilized. I also want to bring to your attention that a change in the language of ODFW's current wildlife policy and food fish policy most likely will have unintended consequences to other activities under the department's purview. You've heard a lot today about commercial fishing versus sport fishing. But we in the Department of Fish and Wildlife, as does the Commission, we look upon the wildlife policy and the food fish policy to make decisions for all fish and wildlife matters in the state, just not a sport versus commercial allocation issue. And as an example, the current language of equitable utilization has been the foundation of a balance of opportunity between landowners, guides and outfitters, those who hunt with a rifle, bow, handgun, or muzzleloader, and this balance of opportunity may be altered if we change the proposed terminology of sustainability. I have been told, and as you've heard today, the reason House Bill 2011 has been proposed for legislation is to allow the Commission to have greater latitude with respect to allocating a greater share of the Columbia River spring Chinook to sport harvest and decrease or potentially eliminate commercial harvest of spring Chinook. If this is true, I'd remind the members of the committee that Oregon shares the Columbia River with the state of Washington. If Oregon changes the way fish and wildlife resources are utilized, it does not mean that Washington will agree with us. I have not had time for Oregon's legal counsel to confer with Washington's legal counsel on the disparity between the two states if Oregon was to pass House Bill 2011. I do suggest that if House Bill 2011 is only a sport versus commercial allocation issue, then let us recognize it for what it is. Employ other means to deal with the dissatisfaction and not alter a broad policy direction that may create discord. I submit that that equality of fish and wildlife ownership transitions easily to equitable utilization of our fish and wildlife resources. I close my testimony with this advice to you today. If you want to give policy direction to the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission that lessens the importance of equality in utilizing a citizen-owned resource, then pass House Bill 2011. Or if you want to reflect back on the last 30 years and consider that the 1975 Legislative Assembly did create wise policy direction on how the citizen-owned resource would be equitably utilized, and leave the language as it is. And again, if we do identify this as a sport versus commercial allocation, I think there are other ways to deal with the issue rather than looking at the broad policy that has served us well to this date. With that, I'll answer any questions the committee may have.
Senator Horn.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Mr. Lindsay A. Barr, right?
Chair Anderson, Representative Lim, that is correct.
Okay. And one gentleman suggested that the language is will work equitable and a sustainable utilization, putting them together.
Chair Anderson, Representative Lim, you can include sustainability in the wildlife policy or the food fish policy. My issue with the utilization aspect comes from the fact that if wildlife, fish and wildlife in Oregon is equally owned, then there needs to be some kind of equitability built into policy direction that provides the commission and the department the direction needed to share that fish and wildlife resource in an equitable fashion. There has to be some level of equality on a shared ownership resource as to how it is being utilized.
I'm not sure my question is clear. What I'm saying, is it possible that the use equitable and then sustainable utilization. Add just one word in there instead of taking out, just to add one word in there, sustainable.
Chair Anderson, Representative Lim, again, I think you can put sustainability in another subsection, but I think to give the commission and the department clear direction, I think equitable utilization should remain standing alone in a separate subsection.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate you all coming and testifying. We have one lone person to testify. Phil Donovan. Phil, we kind of skipped over you, so you get a chance to do the cleanup here.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Phil Donovan. As you all know, I work on behalf of the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry and the Northwest Steelheaders. Since I helped kind of bring this little brouhaha to your attention, I think it's appropriate that I get to try and come and add a little cleanup. The goal of this legislation is to provide the commission with increased flexibility. The term equitable has constrained their decision-making in some cases. The term sustainable will give, in our opinion, the right direction as well as more latitude to the Fish and Wildlife Commission to make their decisions. Obviously, the people that I represent are not happy. And this statute is cited as the sticking point, that the answer to the problem lies in this building. And that's why House Bill 2011 has been brought to you today. This isn't, in my opinion, dramatic change. In fact, we've considered many different ideas that, frankly, drew more boxes around the Commission's decision-making processes. But we realized that that was not the right direction to go. This is a citizen-led commission that, frankly, has good common sense and does, for the most part, in our opinion, do a great job. So what we're looking at here is legislation that helps give them a little bit more latitude to make their decisions. I would point out that there's very little about this legislation that would curtail the commission's ability to provide commercial fisheries. In meetings with each of you, I think I've pointed out that for commercial gill nets and for sport anglers, our lot is somewhat cast together. And so what we simply want to do is ensure that we're dealing with sustainable fisheries. In closing, the Commission has the direction to consider all user groups. And that citizen body is perfectly capable of making those decisions. That's why in 2001, this statute was amended. Section 7 directs that all user groups and all of their associated benefits be considered. And we think that that's all the direction that they need. But under the term equitable, we've been left to somehow divide the pie, and that has not always worked out in a way that has been in the best interests of the people that I work on behalf of. It was suggested earlier that this brings more ambiguity. Well, quite frankly, that's the idea, because we think the Commission is perfectly capable of considering all of the user groups and all of their associated benefits and come to a good decision. So with that, I'd close. Thank you very much for your time and your indulgence to this very important matter.
Thank you. Any questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Bowman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
No more math questions.
No more math problems, I promise. I've learned my lesson. But if you could give me an example of a decision that you wanted the commission to make, but the current language prevented.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nolan, probably the most commonly cited sticking point would be the spring Chinook commercial gill net and sport allocation decisions. And it was pointed out to you all that in that instance, the sport fishery actually catches more fish than the commercial fishery. And there's a lot of reasons behind that, a lot of it having to deal with selectivity. But even in the impacts, the sport industry and the sport fishing public enjoys a slightly higher impact. But what we've failed to accomplish is a fully prosecuted fishery. We've fallen short. We've closed seasons down. Instead of getting to a stated goal of saying April 30th, it gets closed April 7th. And that results in a tremendous loss of economic activity, income to many individuals. I'd point out that, quite frankly, in the world today, there's very little that is being legislated right now or that is being worked on at the commission that is equitable. In the ocean, the commercial catch out there is literally hundreds of thousands of fish, while the sport catch is literally tens of thousands of fish. I would submit that this legislation is somewhat obsolete as a result. There's very little that is, quote, equitable today, but it still continues to hamstring our ability to fully prosecute sport fisheries, and that's really what's driving this legislation and this idea.
Help me understand. If you were concerned about cutting a season short because of language directing equitable utilization, help me understand how changing that to sustainable would allow you to take more fish unless you're taking fish that someone else would have otherwise taken.
Chair Anderson, Representative Nolan, if I'm capturing your question, I'll try to answer it. What we're hoping to accomplish here is really on the front end of the decision-making process. When we're considering what the resource, the expectations of what the season will allow, that the decisions be made by the commission that can realize the best use of a limited natural resource. And so we are going to be debating or figuring out how much is going to be there at the front end of the season. And we can only take our best shot at that. I don't mean to say that you have to fully prosecute a sport fishing season, because conditions change. Run forecasts come in lower. And as a result of that, that may precipitate or necessitate the closing of the season earlier. That's fine. But we're talking about the decision making on the front end. Thank you.
One question I have. So, Madam Mayor. Yes, according to the chart is given to me, that the spring chinook sport and commercial history as percentage of total harvest, it seems to me that sport fishing, the red mark is getting higher than and when we're talking about the equitable, it seems to me sport fishing taking more fishes than commercial.
Chair Anderson, Representative Lynn, it's a very good question, because there's a very significant difference between the harvest by sport fishing and by commercial fishing in terms of limitations on endangered species listed fish. So, in other words, we're able to realize more fishing opportunity because we do not kill as many wild endangered species listed fish. Those ESA listed fish are what we have to manage by. As a result, we are able to catch more than the commercial. And it is our goal to continue to grow that amount of catch and to try and fully prosecute these sport fisheries so that we can maximize the economic benefit to the state of Oregon, and that's both in personal income taxes and as well as fishing and hunting license sales, but also to the small businesses that depend upon sport fishing opportunity.
Representative Barnhart.
I may be going back over old ground, and if I am, just tell me that the testimony that we've heard today suggests to me that we're talking about a piece of the fishing that deals in the species that we've been discussing, and that there's another piece that takes place offshore. Is that right? or have I missed something?
Aye.
And if I'm right, what part of the fishing in these species actually takes place offshore? And is it reflected in the numbers we've got here? I know I'm asking a very elementary question, but I don't know the answer to it, which is why I'm asking.
Chair Anderson, Representative Barnhart, let me see if we can tease this along a little bit. The question I think you're asking is, we've been talking a lot about the Columbia sport fisheries and commercial fisheries, but you're asking, well, what about what's going on out in the ocean?
Correct.
Yes. And the answer is that if you look out in the ocean, there's very little, quote, equity that you can find in any of those fisheries. And what I referred to earlier was the fact that, and I think Dan Grogan of Fisherman's Marine and Supply talked about the hundreds of thousands of fish that are caught by the commercial troll fleet, as opposed to the tens of thousands of fish that are caught by the sport fishing fleet. And quite frankly, that's as it should be. We have neither the means nor the ability to catch those that surplus of fish that are out there, and they're very important to both the economies and to the society as a whole. So we found this term of equity is being very difficult to accept, because you find so little of it that exists today.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much, Phil.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I've been asked to enter into the record that there were several other industry representatives that could not be here due to the short notice, but who are opposed to the bill: the commercial crab folks, the commercial trawlers, the commercial trollers, processors, shrimp, and grand fin fish. If any of those organizations would like to enter testimony, we certainly would welcome that as well for the record. I'm going to close the hearing at this point. And we are, I believe, have just a few housekeeping details for the committee before we adjourn. Staff.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted the committee to be aware that we have been invited to attend a meeting with the House Audits Committee on the morning of March 31st. The committee is going to be addressing the issue of the Energy Trust Public Purpose Charge, and they have invited us to join them if we'd like. I would at some point later this week like to give them a head count, if you will, of how many of you would like to or plan to attend.
That was Tuesday, April?
No, it's Thursday.
Thursday,
March 31st.
Okay.
And they're one of the morning meetings. I don't know if it'll be 8 or 8:30. Okay. They meet in the morning. And so if you get your offices to let me know if you'd like to attend, then I can let them know for purposes of scheduling a room how many people they need to accommodate. And that's all I have.
Okay. March 31st, I believe it is 8:30, on Thursday the 31st. All right. Thank you all. We will adjourn the committee.
Okay.